That's all I got. So look to your neighbor and say, all right, it's time to get into the Word. Go ahead, look at him and say, it's time to get in the Word. Time to get in the Word. I saw a few guys, I'd talk to your neighbor. You just talk to yourself. That was weird. Check this out, man. Before I even get started, I want you to know, I am that annoying pastor who will make you talk to each other. Where are my introverts at? I know it's a big deal. Raise your hand, introverts. Hey, guys. Hi. Yeah, nice low hands. You came on the wrong day, okay? You're going to say hi to that neighbor, because how many of you guys know church isn't about a sermon? It's not about great worship. You could get those on your cell phone. Church is about coming together with one another to get closer to Jesus. So look to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here. Go ahead and tell them that right now. Some of y'all, that's the only person you'll talk to for the rest of the day, and you're happy about it, man. I love that. We're talking about the power of your words. I'm in this series, and we took a little break last week because me and Dad were homeless. It was a lot of fun, by the way. Pastor Paul, I love it when you speak, man. You're a great speaker. How many of you guys love my dad? He's a great guy, yeah. Great guy. But check this out, man. We were in a series called Changed Heart, and we talked about fasting, we talked about prayer, and the reason why we talked about those two things was actually because about today's sermon. About 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, I just had this sermon on my heart, but I didn't know how to preach on it, and I was kind of going back and forth, and I had to really dig in on this thing. So in the meantime, I knew that we needed to have our hearts changed. How many of you guys have asked Jesus into your heart before? Anyone in here? Yeah. And how many of you guys noticed things started changing in your life when you did that? I mean, I know it did for me. It changed a lot. And there was a lot that happened to me. But then there was a point in my life where I kind of plateaued. You guys know what the plateau is, right? Yeah, man, you start plateauing. And I remember thinking, man, I still am dealing with the same sin issues. I'm still dealing, you know, for me, it was like lust and pride, you know, and lying. I do these layers of stuff, and not like big stuff, but, you know, like lie about like, oh, I forgot to call you. Like, I didn't forget, I just didn't do it. You know what I'm talking about? Like those kind of lies. And I remember thinking, man, God, I want you to change my heart. And I used to pray all the time, Father, change me. Father, make my heart new. Now, how many of you guys know God wants to make a work inside of you and he wants to change your heart? How many of you guys believe that in this house? I believe that too. He wants to change you. But then as I was reading the word, I started coming across like there's a responsibility on our side as well to make effort to change our heart, to discipline ourselves. We talked about prayer and how prayer brings you to the place of humility. Prayer is the time where you say, God, I want to know what you want me to know. Father, I want to entrust you with my issues. We talked about fasting. How many guys started fasting after we talked about that? Man, go for you guys. That's a lot, man. Man, I've been trying to do a weekly fast. I failed the second week. I really did. Totally forgot. I don't know if it was like I really forgot or subconsciously like I'm going to forget. You know, it might have been one of those things. No, but fasting and talked about how disciplining your body and how these are things that transform your heart. You could go from someone who the center of your life is focused on all your desires, and prayer and fasting could break that off of you. But today we're going to talk about the reason why I want you fasting and praying as your brother in the Lord, why I want you to be daily spending time setting, you know, replacing things in your life with prayer, taking time, listening, speaking, giving thanksgiving to the Father. Why as your brother in the Lord, I want you fasting on a regular basis is because what we're going to talk about today really, really matters. In fact, I think about what we're talking about today, the power of your words, I think is something that you know is lacking in your life, but you didn't know what to do about it. Power in your words. There's this great proverb. You've got your Bibles. Go to Proverbs 18:21. I love this scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. How many of you guys have ever been blessed by someone because they said something nice to you? You guys ever had that happen? Look to your neighbors, just say something nice. Tell them they look nice today. Go ahead and bless them, you know? Go ahead and say, hey, you look nice today. And if you can't say that, then say something else nice, all right, you know? Man, one time, this is no joke, man. One time I was at the gym. I'm not the strongest dude, but a guy came up to me a dude came up to me and said, "Brother, you're looking real strong." Dude, I melted. I did. I went home to my wife. I was like, this guy said I look strong. I was like, I was living off that for days, you know? I was like, look in the mirror, like, I guess I do look strong, you know? And I'm not joking. I literally, every time I think someone looks strong, I literally just did this to Christian back there. Anytime I think someone looks strong, I say, because that guy blessed me so much, I'm like, I'm going to tell other people, if they look strong to me, I got to tell them. Because, dude, it feels so good when someone says something nice to you. And I know as dudes, being told that you're strong by another dude is maybe the highest compliment you could get. Girls, I'm sure there's something that you guys have that you say to one. I don't, the girls are weird though. You guys know this. Because I've heard a girl say to another girl, "You're pretty," but somehow she was saying she was ugly. And I don't know how they do that. It's tricky. No, but man, words really do bless people. Man, words, how many of you guys have ever been damaged by someone's words? Man, maybe they said something to you crazy. Maybe it wasn't even intentional. Maybe they just said something off the cuff, and man, it really hurt your feelings. And there's a truth that is on the surface level, death and life are really in the power of the tongue. You can really build someone up, or you can really tear them down. But there's something about this scripture that I feel like there's a little bit more than what we see. Because I read that scripture, I go, yes, I know that there's blessing and curses in your tongue, but this one actually says there's life and there's death in the power of the tongue. Like, I know that I could bless people. That guy who came over to me and he told me I was strong, it made me feel really good about myself. I stopped working out because I felt like I accomplished what I needed to do, you know? Another dude said, "I'm strong, I'm good." But no, like, it's like, yeah, I know that's a blessing, and I know there's cursing, and I know you could break people, and I know that in essence that scripture's saying that, but I know there's more to that word than just saying nice things. Because I don't know about you, but I've had people say nice things to me, and it didn't feel good. You guys ever had that before? Where they say the right thing or the nice thing, and it just, there's something about it. Maybe... Actually, girls, I know this has happened to you. A guy gives you a compliment, but it feels like there's more to the compliment. And all of a sudden, like, oh, that was nice, but you made me sick. And so I know that it's not just the words, that there's something a little bit deeper there. That maybe it's not just saying nice things to people is in the power of the tongue and you can bless them, but maybe there's more. And I want to talk about the power of your words. Like the authority in your words. Like, I don't know if you've ever looked at the scriptures, but I mean, Jesus and all these guys in the Bible, all the disciples, there's this one story in the book of Acts. The disciples are walking and there's a man who's crippled since birth. And he's sitting there and he goes, "You guys got any money?" And they said, "We don't got money, but what we do have, we're gonna give to you." And it says in the scriptures that they said, "Get up and walk." And the dude stands up. And everyone's like, "What the heck is going on?" And I read that scripture and I go, wow, what great authority. But I don't know if you've ever noticed, like, Jesus with the demon possessed, he didn't do like a jig and a hallelujah and a little gospel. He didn't stare him in the eyes. He just said, "Get out of them. Get out of them." Four words. And somehow just speaking those words, the demon would flee. Speaking, "Get up and walk," that person would stand up and walk. And there was this, like, authority in their words. It wasn't just, I mean, it was like actual life in their words. Like the ability to set somebody free by just saying, "Come out of them." By healing someone, by just, and I don't know if you notice, actually, it's crazy. Listen, I believe in praying over one another. Scripture says, if someone's sick, bring them to the elders, let them anoint them with oil and pray over them. I'm with that. But when I look at the scriptures and the examples that we have, like all the sicknesses, Jesus, the little girl's dead. He says, "Rise up." Lazarus in the grave, "Lazarus, rise up, come forth." Thanks, I misquoted that. Thanks, Dad. "Come forth." And that was it. Like, it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't this, like, "God, please," you know? It wasn't this desperate crying out. It wasn't this, and this is kind of crazy to even say, but they weren't sitting on their knees and going for days begging the Father to do something. They would just speak words. Like, think about how like crazy simple that is. They were just speaking words. And I've been in situations where I'm, you know, someone's like, hey, I got a headache, or, you know, I got whatever. And they want prayer. And they're like, can you pray for healing? I'm like, yes. And you know what I'm thinking about the whole time? I hope this sounds right. And I'll be praying for healing, and I'm like trying to choose my words as if I say the right words, then maybe something will happen. Now, I've noticed that in Christianity, that we get so consumed about what we say. We get so consumed about like, you know, I read that scripture, life and death. We all of a sudden, we hear that and go, okay, I need to start changing what I say. Like, what's being said? But Jesus says something in the book of Luke. It's in Matthew 2, but I want you to go to Luke chapter 6, 43 through 45. He says something that I think is key to you having power in your words. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruits, nor does a bad tree bear good fruits. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a brambled bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Now, I'm going to talk about the Pharisees. We're going to talk about people who use words to dress the appearance of their heart to look better. But Jesus points something out. He says, man, someone who has a wicked heart, everything that comes out of them is wicked. Even the good things are wicked. Now, that's not a common, you know, that's not a real like common belief that wicked people are wicked through and through. Most of us think people are righteous and they just have a little bit of wickedness inside of them. But scripture says a wicked man cannot bring anything good out of him. Now, I do want to say something. He does say out of an evil man comes out of the evil treasure of his heart. It's still a treasure. And this is what I mean by that. I know that wicked people could say really nice things to you. They could bless you. The other day, my daughter, Lucy, she's into tea right now. Not real tea. She's into teacups. She's a girl. Not one of my boys wanted a teacup. They wanted to break them. That's all they want to do. I mean, they'll play. We love a tea party. All the boys love a tea party, but they want to use them as weapons. Isn't that weird? Yeah. Like, I didn't teach them violence, but they want violence, man. But she brought me tea, and she sat down next to me, and she said, Dad, I want you to drink your tea. Another thing about her is that she's a little bit controlling. I don't know what to do with this, but whatever. She's like 3 years old, and it is, everything is a demand. And she brought me her teacup, and, you know, it was just water. It wasn't bad. And I was like, okay, honey, I'll drink it. And, you know, I did a fake drink because I didn't know where the water came from. It could have been from our toilet for all I know. And she says, no, Dad, I want you to drink it. And she took her fingers. This is my coffee, so you guys don't care. And she started stirring it with her finger like this. And she said, you have to drink it. And I know that water is good. But because of the person delivering it to me, I didn't want it. You get what I'm saying? And there's this like, there's this reality that, man, out of the mouth, even if you have a wicked heart, it doesn't matter how nice of a thing you say, it's spoiled. No matter how wonderful of a compliment, no matter how wonderful of a counsel you get from someone who doesn't have a righteous heart, it's still a wicked treasure. I mean, it might be a treasure. It might be good in the outside, but it's dirty. It's wicked. It's corrupt. He says, man, nothing good comes from their mouth. That's a hard thing to swallow, because how many guys got friends who don't believe in Jesus, but you kind of like what they say, you know? You have them around because you use them as counsel. You have them around because, you know, what they speak to you, you know, makes you feel good. And listen, I'm all about it. I think it's fun. I like talking to people. I try to talk to everybody everywhere, all the time. If there was no people on this earth, I think I would talk to trees. I like talking. Now, I get you talking to people, but the scripture just says, man, just so you know, out of the abundance of the heart is where your words come from. Now, I used to read this scripture. I used to get real convicted and go, okay, I need to change my words so that my heart is better. You guys ever try that? You read the scriptures, you get convicted, out of the power of the tongue comes life and death, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Later on in scripture, he says, you're gonna be held accountable for every word you say. Could you imagine sitting in front of Jesus and he's going over every idle word you said? I have a whole eternity, I think I'd sit with him the whole time. Just that's all we'd be doing. Is every idle word going over it. He says, man, you're gonna be judged by it. And so I'll read those scriptures. A lot of times I think, okay, I need to change how I talk. And so what I try to do is I try to change the outside of my cup and not the inside of my cup. I try to change what is the revelation of my heart instead of changing my actual heart. And so I do this thing where I'll be like, okay, I gotta be, you know, more serious, because my wife tells me this all the time, just because it's funny doesn't mean that you should say it, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I fully agree with that, but I think she has a point. And so she'll tell me something like that, and I'll think, okay, I gotta change my words so that I look better before the Lord. But I'm gonna read a bunch of scriptures to you about how God doesn't want you changing your words. That's not the problem. In fact, I'll be honest with you, Jesus would say really mean things. One point, this is crazy, I just read this in Matthew, man. We're gonna talk about this actually on Wednesday night. One point, he calls a woman a dog. And not in like a cutesy way or a cool way, not like, what's up, dog, or little puppy. No, he's like, no, you're a dog. You're a Gentile, and I'm not here for you. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like life. That sounds like death. In fact, I used to read that and think, what he said was more important than where what he said came from. Because I was stuck on this idea that saying good things is what God wanted me to do, but he doesn't. Read Matthew 23, verse 27 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like whitewashed tombs, which indeed you appear beautifully outward, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. He's telling the Pharisees, man, you guys have it all right, man. You say it right. You dress the part. He says, but that's not what I'm after. Ezekiel 33, 31. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, and they do not do them. For with their mouth they show so much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. They're sitting there going, oh, we love God. He's so great. But those words are empty, like the whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside, by the inside, he says, you're lost. Isaiah 29, 13, the Lord actually quotes this when he's talking to the Pharisees. Says, therefore, the Lord said, and as much as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. In other words, they don't know God. They just listen to other people. Amos 5, 21 through 24. This one's crazy. God speaking. I despise your feast days. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Nor will I regard your fat and peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. That scripture right there freaks me out. Because we were just in here singing like the best. I love that song. You know, I get all pumped up. I start doing like the headbang. I don't know if anyone else does that. The scriptures, he says, dude, I don't want your words. He says, dude, I hate your feasts, man. And these are feasts, by the way, God commanded them to do. He says, I don't want to, like, it's like, oh gosh, I hate it. And it reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures in Revelation chapter 3. He's like, man, you're like, you give me all your words. You cover the intentions of your heart by saying all these words. Thinking by saying these words, somehow your heart's going to be different. You're dressing yourself up. I wish I did an illustrated sermon. I wish I was dressed up here and put on all these different disguises with, you know, that's what we do with our words. I mean, I hear it all the time. I'll be on the street. Someone will be wasted or someone will be high on crack. And the first thing they'll say when they find out I'm a pastor, first thing they'll say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. I love the Lord. I don't go to church. They always tell me, they always got to make clear they don't read the Bible, go to church, but they love Jesus. But it's not like them out there. You know, these scriptures right here were to those who were assembling and singing songs to the Father, bringing sacrifice. He says, no, that's not like you're just, you settled for dressing your hearts. But he says, out of your heart, man, that's where all the real things come out of you. You can say all the best things, but if your heart's wicked, even your best things are wicked. Man, you can say all the best songs and sing all the best songs in the whole wide world. You can dance. If you're Pentecostal, you can get that Holy Ghost jig, you know, where they do this thing, where they look at the running man, you know what I'm talking about? You could go and get real crazy, dude. You can start doing the gifts and all these great things, speaking all these things. He goes, but man, but if your heart's wicked, that treasure that you're bringing out is also wicked treasure. That's not good. Because Jesus wasn't about trying to get you to speak better. He wasn't trying to get your words to be nicer to people. There's been this Christianity that got real bought up by all of us. Where we have to be people where we're watching our words constantly wherever we are. And we don't know exactly why, but we kind of go around and what we do is we mask our heart with words. And based on where we're at, if we're at our workplace, if we're at church, if we're with our buddies at a bar, all that, all of a sudden we put on a different mask for our hearts. And our language changes. All of a sudden, what you say at home when you're alone with your family is different than what you can say on the stage. Why? What happened? Because we thought that God was actually concerned about our words. He's like, no. Your words are just evidence of what's really going on in your heart. And you bring these wicked things out. Even though they sound beautiful, they're wicked inside of you. And so if we look at that, we're going to ask the question, well then, what am I to do if singing songs isn't what God necessarily wants? What do I do if saying nice things to people, you know, everyone, I hope every guy in here starts telling all the other men that they look strong and healthy. I hope you guys start doing that. There's people who are whispering it right now. Good for you guys, yeah. You can say you're cute too if you want. It's a little risky, but you can say that to each other. But check this out, man. What if it was beyond that? What if you got so concerned about being nice and polite that you dismissed what God was really after in your life? What if actually I told you that Christianity had nothing to do with politeness? Like, I love being polite. I think it's a good thing to do. I think there's a place of good character and meekness. But what if I told you when I look at Jesus, he would say things. The disciples, Paul the apostle, every one of them, they were not afraid to call out sin. They were not afraid to directly say something to the unbeliever. They had no problem with that. They would speak freely because they knew that the words were not the issue, but the placement of their heart, where the words came from, was the issue. So I read the scripture, Matthew 17, 14 through 21. I just want to read this to you because there's this really important thing that I've been teaching on that I want to show you about these disciples who have been given authority, but something did not work for them. And they had to have a heart change. So number one, how do you change your words from being just words out in the empty air? And how many of you guys want, just real quick question, how many of you guys want to have authority in your words? Does anyone in here want to have authority in your words? I do too. The rest of y'all, just keep doing you, I guess. I want authority in my words. I want to be able to speak like the Lord did. And there's a story, chapter 17, verse 14 in Matthew. He says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to Jesus and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples. but they could not hear him. Then Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then his disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there.'" Did you see what that said, by the way? Faith of a mustard seed, you will say. It doesn't say pray that the mountain will move. It says you will say to this mountain, "Move from here to there," and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. You know why I love that scripture? Because Jesus hits on three things. Now, I've only talked about two, and I'll probably do faith next week. I'm kind of going back and forth on it. Maybe. But we talked about these two right here. Because he says, man, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, and you really believe, and faith, by the way, is a heart issue of actually believing and following through with it. It's not a mental issue. It's not a thought process. It's a dying down deep down in the center and saying, if you're God, then everything inside of me needs to line up with you. And he says, if you got the faith of a mustard seed, your words will be so powerful that if you tell a mountain to move. Have you ever tried that before? Yeah, I have too. Thanks for being weird with me, man. I've told this story, but I'll tell it real quick. I got a little bit of time. I'm sitting in my room. I read that scripture. I'm thinking, okay, faith of a mustard. I must have the faith of a mustard seed. That's what I'm thinking, right? That's a tiny little thing. I'm sitting in my rocking chair. My wife's down in the room. There's a candle on her dresser. I'm looking at that thing. Yeah, I've watched Harry Potter. Don't curse me. Okay, it was cool. It's like, okay, it's not hocus pocus, just faith. Candle, move. Nothing happened. I kind of whispered it. So I thought maybe it wasn't loud enough. Yeah. Just waiting. Candle, move. And I hear Susie walk up the stairs, so I just start rocking, pretend nothing's going on upstairs. The candle never moved. Not once. So I thought maybe I need to say it with more authority, you know, maybe I need to say it stronger. Move, candle, you know. Like I was gonna do it. The candle didn't just squat. And you know what's crazy actually about this? Let me just tell you about how wicked we really are. Instead of thinking that I didn't have a lot of faith, I started thinking maybe the scripture wasn't what it said. Have you ever done that? Your circumstances started interpreting scripture for you? Oof. Anyways, I say that to say, man, he says, man, if you have the word, the faith that is inside your heart. And then he says, and much prayer and fasting. He says, this doesn't happen, though, without much prayer and fasting. He says, listen, this is about your heart, where your words come out of. Not necessarily what you say, but where your words come from that matters. He says, that's the problem. That's why he says it's faith is the issue. He says it's not an issue of whether or not you said it right. He's going, whether or not your heart's in the right position. That's the problem. You want a mouth that speaks authority? Let me tell you something. You need a heart that truly believes in the Father through and through. And I'm not talking about, yes, I believe you're up there. I'm talking about my entire life will be centered on you. I'm talking about if God's actually real and Christ died on the cross and rose again and this book that we read is legitimate. Faith is not going, yeah, I believe I go to church. Faith is saying that my entire life is based on this. That's what faith is. I will do nothing outside of this thing. I will submit to it. I will submit to it even if I don't like it. That's faith. That's a heart posture. That's someone who says, God, I'm fully locked in. He says, man, if your heart's in the right place, this is the kind of thing that happens with your words. But I want to go to something a little bit more than just that, because there's this scripture that says, as believers, anytime you ask of anything in my name, he says what? It will be done. Have you guys ever read that scripture? Dude, that scripture is, how many of you guys don't know if you believe it all the way? It's okay, you could confess that. I've prayed in Jesus' name. I mean, every prayer. Do you guys do that too? Every prayer you say, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And how many of you guys noticed by saying that, for some reason, it doesn't seem to click? Because I've prayed him to bless all sorts of food, and I know it wasn't blessed. I know it. I know. I know what happened afterwards. That wasn't blessed. That was cursed. I've prayed for healing. I said, God, will you heal this person? And in that prayer, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And nothing happened. And I know why. Because there's this other part of speaking with authority that's not just faith and it is, and I'll get to that in a second, but maybe expounding. It's not just faith and fasting and prayer. There's this other piece that I didn't know about till last night when I was at a wedding. I was talking to a friend and he pointed this out. I thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I've been looking for. It's in Matthew 8, verse 5 through 10. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. I want you to pay attention to these next seven words. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith as this, not even in Israel. And the Lord said, go after that. He is healed in that hour. That son was healed. But did you read what I just read? So first, you need to have a heart that speaks from a place of authority. And that comes from fasting and prayer and faith. But there's this other thing that's really, really important. And it's what the centurion saw that I don't know if you've ever seen before. Is that he looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, you just say the word because I'm somebody who's under authority. And I have people under me. And he's hitting something that I think is going to open up the door for you when it comes to praying in the name of Jesus. Because what the centurion is saying, he's going, hey, listen, I have a boss who's over me, who has a ton of authority. His name's probably Caesar. And what he says, it goes. And I'm under him. I'm under his authority, which means I'm submitted to him. Whatever he tells me to do, I do. And because I'm submitted under his authority, I have people under me. And whatever I say, they have to go do because of the person I'm under. I'm under authority, so now I have authority in what I say. And when I tell my servants, you go here or you come here, guess what? They come and they go because they know whose authority I'm under. Now, when I talk about praying in the name of Jesus and being able to speak, and when Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, he's not saying, whatever you ask, make sure you say in the name of Jesus at the end of it. He's not asking you what or telling you what to say. He's telling you how to say it in a place under someone else's authority. What if I told you that you're supposed to have authority and power in every word you say, that you should be able to speak to people who are tormented by demons, and you should be able to speak life by saying, be set free in the name of Jesus, demons get out, and they should leave. That you should be able to sit with your brothers and sisters, and when you say, Father, this is what we're asking, he will deliver to you. It is because of a place of being under authority. Praying in Jesus' name is not praying Jesus' name, amen. It's praying while being submitted to him. It's praying when you say, Father, I am absolutely yours through the very core. Whatever you desire in my life, whatever your scripture says, whatever your word says, I am submitted to you. He says, when you're under authority, I will give you authority in your words. when you're under my authority. You know how many people are going to get to heaven and say, but Jesus, I prayed in your name. He's going to go, you never submitted to me once. Man, you prayed every day and you used my name in vain. You never prayed under submission to me. You see, the centurion had faith because he understood something. Jesus, I see you're submitted to the Father. So now I know whatever you say, servants could come and go. They will listen to because of the authority that you're under. What if I told you the power of your word is directly correlated to your submission to the Father? What if I told you you don't got life coming out of you unless you got submission first before the authority of Christ? What if I told you the treasure that comes out of your heart isn't the treasure that anybody wants unless first you're submitted under the authority of Christ? Because I don't know, I got a lot of Christians, a lot of friends, I got a lot of time in my life where I said all the right things, but they were empty. Oh, they were in vain. There were wicked treasures from my heart because I was too busy saying, I see what God wants, but I don't want to submit to that. Man, too many times I've said, God, I see what you've called me to do, but I don't know if I want to submit to that. And so all of a sudden, I'm like that in Amos, singing songs, and he's plugging his ears. I hate that junk, dude. You say you're my servant. You're not my servant. You say you're my child. You're not my child. No. You're like the Pharisees. You're a whitewashed tomb. You're not submitted to me. You're still submitted to your own desires. But I love my desires, Tommy. I love my desires. But the Lord's looking at you going, no, don't you understand? Authority. You're supposed to be people who speak. He says in the scriptures, these will be the signs of those who follow me. They will cast out demons. They'll heal the sick. You know, I love that. The sign is a sign that they follow. That's submission. What you do, I do. Father, you're my Father. You're my Master. He says, man, when you're under me, the authority, you're under authority. The centurion said, man, I see that you're under authority. And I am too. So now when I speak to my servants, that's what they do. They listen to me. What if I told you all the authority in your word is caught up because your heart isn't set on him? Don't let me wreck you. Don't let me wreck you. Some of you guys are going, I'm growing, Tommy. I'm going, yes, keep growing. I'm with that, but I want to push you today. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just preach a sermon to you that you leave and you feel good and you pat yourself on the back. I want that. I want you to feel good, absolutely. But I want to give you some instruction. I want you guys to live Christian lives that you read in the Bible, that you go walk by the guy who is crippled and say with your words, I mean, too many of us are looking at mountains. Why don't you just start with the crippled guy? Rise up and walk. Man, too many people are using all these words to comfort their friends when all they need to say is, the Father free you from your tortured life. And they're trying to use all these words, the mask, and the Father's going, no, I didn't have you submit to me so you're weak. I had you submit to me so my power could flow through your mouth. So that you could speak. James says, man, the tongue's the most powerful thing. It can set a forest on fire. It could direct a ship. And the Lord's looking at you going, and I didn't give you that tongue to be weak. I give it to you to be submitted to me so you have power. Set people free from lies. Man, can I just say something real quick? If you get this, you're not going to go and argue with a bunch of atheists. You won't have to. You'll just speak with authority. Don't you know that? You'll just speak with authority. Now, you'll speak, and let me just tell you something. The world does not want you to have authority. They will try to crush you. But how many of you guys know when you're submitted to the Father, crushing doesn't mean nothing to you? Then you actually rejoice. You go, man, I got to be just like my Father. Well, listen, I'm going to come to an end. But I just want to reemphasize this. That's where I'm landing. I just want to reemphasize this. Life and death come from the power of the tongue does not speak good things or bad things to people. Life and death come from the power of tongue. The Lord's saying, you have a toll on your body that I want to use. It's your words. And I want to make this clear. He didn't call you believers and followers of him. He doesn't call you his disciples to walk around and say just nice things. And listen, I love being nice. I think that's great. I'm probably the most flattery guy you've ever met. I love that stuff. But that's not what he's getting at. He's saying, listen, you want your words to have power and authority. You got to be someone who puts their heart in the right place. Because he says, everything you say is coming from the center of your life. And it could be the most beautiful, eloquent, you know, whatever. You could be a poet for all I care. He says, but if it's wicked heart, it's wicked words. And he says, it's impossible for those who are wicked to produce anything good out of their mouth. Even the things that sound good, he says, the treasure's still wicked. I want to emphasize that. Because I think some of you have been fooled that people could talk nice, so you want to follow after them. I've watched, you know, podcasters and speakers and young Christian men glued to them, yet they deny Christ. I say, hey, their advice might be good, but it's wicked treasure they're pulling out. Hey, man, I like what they're saying, but it's wicked treasure that comes out of their mouth. And the Lord's going, man, I want to know a people who don't just speak many words trying to cover their hearts, but speak words with authority and power because their heart is already submitted. He wants a people not who correct their words. He wants a people who corrects their heart posture. He doesn't need people who could talk like a Christian. He doesn't need people who could talk like they have authority. He wants people who will submit their heart to the Father and say, you told me forgive, I will forgive. You told me not to divorce. You told me not to do this. You told me not to commit adultery. You told whatever it takes, I will submit to you as far as I can, God. My heart is yours. I stepped on some toes saying that. I get it. He's looking at your heart posture. You should be someone who's broken when things go the wrong way and it displeases the Father, not someone who says, well, God's happy with it. I was like, God, I know you're broken too. My heart is yours. He says, man, if you guys could get this, the church could speak life to those who are dead. If you could catch this, that under authority, you have authority. He says, if you could catch this, he says, the church could sing songs and revival could break out. He says, man, if the church could get this, that their heart posture is more important than their words, then sermons will ring into the colleges again, because it's going to be a place where they go, there's power and authority in this. You'll be able to walk into your workplace and just declare the kingdom of God, and you'll see power happen. But it's a heart posture, not the choice of words. You can speak to your children who are lost. And you don't have to negotiate with them. You can say, the Lord rebuke you. Come back to what you're called to. You can speak to your siblings. You can speak to your friends. Straight to their hearts. Because the Father has given you the authority. And you can move a mountain and you can change a man's life. You can tell a crooked man to start being straight and walking right. You can tell the blind to see. You don't even have to pray. Your heart's already submitted to him. So now you have authority in your words. This should be a wake-up call. If you don't got life coming out, ask yourself, Father, am I submitted to you? Father, much prayer and fasting gives my heart the ability for this. Help me with it. Much faith, help me with it, Father. I want my words to speak with power. Church, you need to hear me on this. Only those who are righteous, only those who have the good heart, and not a kind heart, not a gentle heart, a good heart, one that is pure and submitted to the Father, only they bring life out of their mouth. Those are the only ones. Only life. And let me tell you something about life. When you speak it, that means things come alive. You, church, are not supposed to speak like the world. I'm not talking about what you say. I'm talking about the power that comes out of you should be different. The power that comes out of you should be different. He's called you to it, but first, come to the place of submission. First, come to the place of fasting and prayer. Come to the place of, God, if this thing's real, then everything in my life is bent around it. I don't care about some other truth. You are the truth. I submit to you, Holy One. This will change the way you talk. Because from the abundance of your heart, that's where your mouth speaks. Will you guys rise to your feet with me? I want you to close your eyes real quick as I end this. Listen, I'm going to just say this with your eyes closed right now. Honest truth. I have a feeling that there's people in the room who might need an altar right now. And what I mean by that is a moment just to sit with the Father. Because you've been saying all the right things, but you just, there's just something you notice, man. The power's not there. And you're kind of recognizing, maybe for the first time in a long time, you're not submitted to the King. You're still negotiating His ways versus your ways. You're still playing a little tug of war. You want heaven, you want the reward, but you don't want to release your flesh. And I want to pray over everyone in this building, but can we just take 2 minutes? If you need a moment, I want you to open up these altars to you. Come to these altars right now. And it's not going to be anything. No one's going to look at you. I'm going to ask everyone to keep their eyes closed. But I want to provide a space for you for a second that you could come lay it down before the Father. So if you need this altar, can I just open it up? I want you to come right up. I'm going to have someone lay hands on you. Come on, right up to the altar. We're going to lay hands on you. And while they're at the altar, I want you guys, just you, this is you guys, don't listen to me. But everyone else in this audience, if you're in this room, you're going, Pastor, will you pray over me that maybe if there's any area in my life that my heart could be shifted, that today the Holy Spirit will shift it. If you're in this room, you're going, man, I want the Holy Spirit to do something in me. Convict me. Argue with me, Holy One. Make me be someone who has to wrestle you. If you're in this house and you're going, man, I want a heart change. I just want to put your hands up real quick. I'm just going to pray real quick over you. Father, I pray over every hand in this building. Father, we've noticed something. We noticed that life should be coming out of our mouths. Words that have authority and power. And God, we see what it is. Oh, Father. And we're asking right now, Holy Spirit, will you shake something up inside of us? Holy Spirit, will you tell me if this thing's real, if this is it, then Father, we're saying, increase our faith today. Oh God, argue with us. Make us wrestle you, Father. Oh Jesus, if there's a part in us that's not submitted, make us wrestle you, Jesus. Oh Father, convict us to the deepest part of our hearts today, Jesus. Oh Lord, let prayer and fasting, God, be poured out inside of us that our heart would be shifted towards you. Oh, Father, we see what the scripture says, that those under authority have authority. And Father, we're just praying right now. Father, we want to come under your authority right now, Jesus. Whatever you desire, God, whatever change you want to make, whatever you've called us to, God, this is it. I'm yours today. For Father, our words, oh God, our words and the power and the authority, the life and death, God, everything that comes out of our mouth, it's evidence of you in our hearts. It's evidence of your authority in my life. So Father, right now, God, I pray that when we pray in the name of Jesus, we're praying because we're submitted to you. That God, everything we ask of you, Jesus, in your name is us not saying your name at the end of the prayer, but rather us praying fully submitted to you, Holy God. Oh God, that we're under you. We're under your authority. So Father, I pray this over every person who has their hand up right now, Jesus. Let it be the week that your Holy Spirit wrestles us, God. Oh Father, pull it out of us, Jesus. Lord, whatever you desire, we are yours in the name of Jesus. Hey, keep your heads bowed for just a moment longer, because if you're in this room and you've never given your life to Jesus, man, I want to give you an opportunity today. If you never said, God, I'm yours, and today I want to have salvation in my heart, I want to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to have you stand on the stage. I'm not going to have anyone look at you. I'm just going to have you raise your hand, but not just you. Maybe you're in this room and at one point you used to follow Jesus. Man, at one point you might have been radical for him, but somewhere down the road, maybe it was crazy theology, or maybe it was your flesh, or maybe it was just things got busy. You walked away. You backslidden. And you know, if you're backslidden, you know what that means. I want to give you an opportunity to come home today. He will receive you. He's not looking to punish you. His wrath has been set aside because of the blood of Christ has been poured out. He says, come to me. If you're in this house, you want to give your life to the Lord for the first time or the 10th time, I want to give you that opportunity. All I'm going to have you do is raise your hand real high. If you're in this house, you want to give your life to the Lord, put your hand up real high. Come on, thank you. Come on, thank you. Come on. Come on. Come on. If you're online, you can just put it on the chat. For those who raise their hand, I want you to hear me out. We're going to say a prayer. We're all going to say this prayer together. And this prayer is real simple. Jesus, I believe in you. Come into my life. Transform me. We're going to make a confession of faith that we believe he died on the cross and rose again. And this prayer can mean absolutely nothing or it can mean everything. It depends on your heart. I want to encourage you, for those who rose your hands, those online, I want to encourage you. Don't let this just be a couple words. I know too many people who just said some empty words and left and never changed. Say it with all your heart. In church, everyone who's in the pew still, will you all repeat this prayer after me? Dear Father, I need you. Come into my life. Transform me. Make me new. I believe you died on the cross and you rose again. I believe that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so today, I give you my life. I'm yours. Change me. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I think that a lot of us don't know this. I know we say it every week, but I don't know if we really believe it. I don't know if these at the altar know this, but anyone who pours their heart out to the Lord, it says when they turn towards me, I love this. Anyone who turns towards the Lord, turns back towards the Lord, he says, man, there's this rejoicing in heaven. And there are some hands who say, I want to give salvation. I want the Lord in my heart. But then there's an altar that's full of people who are going, God, I want you more than ever. And I could just imagine the sound in heaven. It says there's rejoicing anytime someone turns back to the Lord. And church, can we just show everyone in this house what it sounds like in heaven today?